Chapter 1 Meriwether looked up at the bank of screens. Something was wrong. He glanced behind him, though he knew he was alone in the control centre. Everyone else was at the interdepartmental party they threw each year to mark the start of the Christmas holidays. Meriwether wasn't big on parties. He didn't drink and couldn't do small talk, so he volunteered for the caretaker watch to garner some points with colleagues on the flight ops team, and bag a little heavy-duty processor time to crunch the deep space data he was working on for his PhD. He leaned forward in his chair and cocked his head to one side, listening to the chatter of the hard drive. Some people could listen to a car engine and tell you what was wrong with it. Others might hear one bum note in a symphony played by a 60-piece orchestra. Meriwether knew computers, and this one definitely sounded hinky. There was a hitch in the processing tone, like a broken tooth on a clock wheel, or a fresh scratch on one of the classic 45s he liked to collect. He stroked his knitted tie nervously as he considered what to do. Unlike the other techs at the Goddard Space Center, Meriwether was strictly old school. He wore a tie every day, along with pressed trousers, horn-rimmed glasses, and neatly combed hair, just like his boyhood heroes, the Houston mission controllers of the 60s and 70s. He also liked rules and order. He didn't like it when things went wrong. A tap on his keyboard banished the Pillars of Creation screensaver, the most famous image taken by the Hubble telescope, controlled from this room and currently orbiting Earth, 353 miles above Meriwether's head. He ran through the standard checklist of the latest telemetry. Temperature normal, speed steady, all systems green, no fluctuation in the solar wind, nothing abnormal. He typed in a string of commands, and the big screen on the wall flashed an updated image from the main reflector feed. It showed the luminous swirl of Cosmos Aztec 6, 13.4 billion light-years away, the farthest system ever observed from Earth. The processor crunched again, making Meriwether wince. Then something happened that he had never seen before. An application auto-loaded onto his desktop, a large window filled with numbers.
"Virus," he said. "We have a virus."
No response. No one there. The numbers remained on screen for a few seconds, then disappeared. Meriwether tapped the keyboard and shook the mouse. He kicked back, rolling his chair away from the desk and across the floor to another workstation. Same thing. Frozen screen, frozen keyboard. The processors chattered feverishly as they continued to feed on whatever digital poison had somehow found its way into the pristine system. The main screen flickered and Meriwether looked up. The image was beginning to shift and disintegrate. Whatever had locked him out was now taking control of the guidance systems. The telescope was moving. He fumbled for a desk phone, knocking the receiver to the floor, pulling it up by the cord and stabbing a button marked Dr. Kinderman, cell phone. On the screen, the image continued to break up as the telescope turned. In his ear, the ringing tone began. Somewhere down the hall, a marimba tune rang in sync with it. Meriwether clamped the phone under his chin and went through every reboot command he could think of to try and unlock the keyboard. Nothing. The ringing tone continued in his ear. He dropped the phone on the desk and launched himself toward the exit. Outside in the corridor, the marimba was louder. It was coming from Kinderman's office. He arrived at the door, knocked once out of habit, then opened it. The state of the office came as a complete shock. Wrenched open drawers, papers everywhere, books all over the floor. The cell phone was on the desk. It shimmered a couple of times, vibrating in time to the ring, then stopped. In the silence that followed, Meriwether heard the crunch of the pernicious code coming from Kinderman's terminal. He moved cautiously into the room, wading through drifts of paper, until the monitor came into view. He stopped dead when he saw the message on the screen. Mankind must look no further.